Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Flowers. Thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Builders Blog Talk Radio, Kingdom Builders International Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Apostle Carl Flowers. You're listening to Restore Paths to Dwell In. This is the first Monday of the month. We on every first and third Monday of the month, and this is the first Monday. I thank God for internet listeners, landline listeners, cell phone listeners, wherever my voice may be heard. You may be streaming live or streaming or tuning in this broadcast. I thank God for you and your listening support, those that have supported by listening in to Restore Paths to Dwell In broadcast faithfully. I thank God for you. I just pray that this ministry has been a blessing to you and an encouragement to you and give you clarity concerning the things that God wants to do in your life, concerning your purpose, concerning your destiny, and God wants you to be strengthened into the Lord. I want to give shouts out to my wife, First Lady, Apostle Angel Flowers. Thank God for her, my teammate. We operate together in team ministry. Thank God for her as well. And again, I just thank God again for you listening orders, audience. Thank God for the Prophetess Teresa, the founder of Kingdom Builders, and Evangelist Hannah, those that are working with her, Prophetess Teresa behind the scenes, and those that are praying and interceding, those that are on the prayer wall for those for this broadcast, Kingdom Builders International, that are praying for you, for those that are calling in, whenever time that you do listen to the different speakers that come on the broadcast, they are praying for you, and we thank God for you, and there is a word from the Lord for you on tonight. I want to continue on in the vein that God has me to continue on. It is somewhat like, you might as well say, something like a series concerning purpose and concerning destiny, concerning why you are here, you know, the purpose of you being born. But our Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you, God, on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, Lord. We thank you for your anointing, Lord. We thank you for your blood, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for your spirit. We ask you to move right now supernaturally in the midst of your people, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare and decree right now, I decree on tonight miracles, signs, and wonders, Lord, in the midst of your people. Father, I pray, Lord, let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you remove the scales from our eyes and the dullness from our hearing, Lord, that we may hear and see what the Spirit of the Lord have to say unto us, the church. Lord, I ask that you will word my mouth, Lord, speak through me your oracles, God, your revelation, Lord, because without you I can do nothing, Lord. Anoint the lips of clay, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Holy Spirit, on tonight. Lord, I just release right now, Lord, I ask that you release right now your ministering angels to minister unto the heirs of salvation on tonight. Lord, I ask that you would release your warring angels, God, to war on behalf of those, Lord, that are in a spiritual warfare, in a battle right now, that are under attack of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for your warring angels fighting for the people of God. In the name of Jesus, I come against discouragement, disappointment. In the name of Jesus, faint heartedness, hard heart. Lord, you said be weary, be not weary in well-doing. So I come against weariness in the name of Jesus, that your people will not faint. I speak, Lord, supernatural strength come upon your people in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we forever give your name all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Lord, we humble ourselves before you this day, Lord, as a people. We repent, God, for the omissions and the commissions of our sins. Lord, you said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, then we shall hear from heaven, and you will forgive our sins, and that you will heal our land. This nation needs healing in the land. The churches of God need to come together, Lord, and we just pray for the unity in the body of Christ, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we would come together, Lord, uproot all the contention, Lord, the jealousy, the strife that is going on in the local assemblies in the body of Christ, the differences because of doctrines, beliefs, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let us cast all that down, Lord, to begin to come together in unity in the kingdom, Lord, as, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, because it's one Lord, one baptism and one spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. It's all one in the name of Jesus. And we pray, God, on tonight for their unity, Lord, in the name of Jesus, because of the times that we are in. And that's what it's all about, the work that we have to do to complete in these evil and last days that we are in. So, Lord, we pray that unity in the body of Christ, pray that unity in the church, Lord, pray for the leaders, the pastors in the body. Lord, we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would, Lord, deliver us from the errors of our ways, and that the spirit of truth will be revealed unto us, Lord, as pastors and as leaders and repentance in the house of God, starting with the leaders, because judgment first begins in the household of faith, first begins in the household of the Lord. And so, Lord, we ask that you forgive us and have mercy upon us, God, in the name of Jesus, even as leaders in the house, Father. We repent of our greed and filthy lucre, Lord, and getting, just thinking about ourselves and being selfish and self-centered, Lord, and numbering the people, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, and thinking about how can we get our bills paid, you know, doing a head count by you know, put a number on when it comes to offering time or whatever, then I can raise just enough money to pay my mortgage or this and that kind of wrong thinking. Lord, in the name, you said a workman is worthy of his hire. And Lord, we know that you, as we be obedient unto you, Lord, and we have the right heart and motive and spirit, God, pure heart and a pure spirit towards you and towards men, Lord, in the body and in ministry, God. In the name, we know that you're going to pay. We know that you're going to bless. Lord, you say go in a vineyard and work, and whatever is right for you will pay, God. You will move upon the hearts of those that will be obedient and give, because I know you have dealt with those to give, and they have not been obedient to give unto the to your, you know, your leaders that are doing the work, whose heart is right. But Lord, we know that you will open up and move upon the hearts of those that will be obedient and give to the work of the ministry, give to the vision of the house, God. And we pray for the people of God that will obey in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we pray, God, for those leaders that will do right by your people, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, we praise you, and we bless you, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Thank God, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you, people of God. Again, this is Apostle Flowers. Our ministry is prepared to preach international ministries. We're located here in the windy city of Chicago. And this broadcast that you're listening to is Restorer of Paths to Dwell In. I want to bring your attention to, I just want to do just a little bit of a recap from the last broadcast that I done on last month, just touching a little bit, talking about, I know I came out of Judges, the 13th chapter, the 35th verse, and I was dealing with a woman that had a visitation from an angel, and the angel had said to her and came and prophesied to her because she was up in age and she was barren, and that she should have a child, that she shall be pregnant with a child. I'm kind of paraphrasing. And even though this woman was up in age and she was barren and everything, and the angel began to proceed to tell her the purpose of this child, the sex of this child, what this child shall be, a male, and instructions concerning this child and how this child is not to do this and not to do that. And then the angel went on to say the purpose of the birth of this child, and that was to deliver the children of Israel from out of the hand of the enemy. And any time when the enemy is on the scene and the enemy is persecuting the people of God, God always raised up a judge. God always raised up a voice. God always raised up a prophet that will speak on behalf of his people, that will bring forth deliverance unto his people that's not afraid. So there's a purpose and a plan that God has for your life and why you have been born, why you are here. There's an assignment God asked for you to do. Those that have came into the knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ when you became born again and it prophesied to you, it's been spoken to you that you have a call of God upon your life, and you kind of like been wrestling with what is that call, God, I don't quite have clarity. Well, it was prophesied to me that I shall do this and shall do that, but yet, God, you're looking at your present situation, the way things are going now, like you can't really see yourself doing those things that have been spoken over your life. But God, what God has spoken of your life, it shall come to pass as you follow the instructions of the Lord and as you prepare to move in that which have been prophesied over your life, whether it was a business, whether it's concerning a certain field, profession, whatever. There's things that you have to do in order for that word to come to pass, in order for you to move in that direction which was prophesied over your life. And a lot of times, sometimes we think that the things supposed to just fall into our lap, is supposed to happen. No, The children of Israel could not enter into the promised land just like that. There was things that they had to do. They had to fight. I'm not talking about the first generation that died out, but I'm talking about the Joshua generation. The Lord spoke unto Joshua and told him that they should drive the enemy out little by little. So there was something that they had to do. They had to fight their way in order to get into their promised land. So what are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying this, that you're going to have to fight in order to obtain what God has promised you. You have to war concerning the prophetic words that have been spoken over your life, that have been given to you, as Paul said unto Timothy, to encourage him, because Timothy was a young man, and Timothy, you know, older people that were much older in age, and Timothy, by Timothy being a young man, you know, a lot of times the older people's trying to discourage him because of his age. That's why the Bible says, despise not your youth. So I want to say to you young folks, you young folks in ministry, keep pressing, keep pushing, regardless of, you know, you may have those that may be up in, you know, older in age, or maybe older than you. They may tell you, oh, you're too young to do ministry, or really don't want to receive from you because of your age, or what could you tell me? I'm older than you, so there's nothing that you can really tell me. So all that is pride. See, God anoints those that he called and those that he chosen. He anoints them, he qualifies them, and he gives them wisdom, and wisdom beyond their years. God gives them insight through the Spirit of God to be able to speak through the utterance of the Holy Ghost, through the prophetic ministry, through revelation, what the Lord is conveying to his church or to his people. And so that's why we cannot be in a position, because it seems like a person may be younger than us in ministry, or age-wise, we can't receive from them because, oh, we're much older than them, and so on and all that. That's, again, that's just pride. It cannot be like you're hurting yourself, you're hurting, and you're missing out on your blessings by not receiving, because what's happening is you're not receiving. It's not them, the vessel is you're not receiving from God, because if God's speaking through them, God had anointed them, God had give them the talents and the abilities to function in the kingdom and to function in the realm of the spirit. And so because you're looking on their natural appearance, you're looking on the outside appearance, you're looking at the youth of the person, and I don't want to receive from them. It's some that, you know, my wife and I, we encounter those in ministry, you know, because we don't look our age, and then plus, you know, we're young as well, and we encounter that. We contend with that at times in ministry, and with those in ministry, oh, you know, you look like babies. Oh, you're too young to be in ministry, and so what? You know what? I'm supposed to be old and can't get around and this and that. The Word of God said, "I call the young because they are strong. I call the old because they are wise." And so we would run into that from time to time, because of people looking and judging us from the outer. But then when God has us to open up our mouth and speak, then, as the Word of God says, they're confounded and they're amazed. Then they, you know, they take back their words and they're surprised. But then they say, oh, you know, truly that God is with you and that God is speaking through you guys, because God would always prove you. So I want to share that with those of you that are in ministry. God would always prove you. You don't have to feel like you have something to prove, or you have to show somebody something. Well, I'm going to show them that God called me and that I'm in ministry. You don't even have to do that. The Lord is with you, and the Lord will prove you. You just do what you're supposed to do. You obey God and just do that and let the Lord do the rest. But again, just a little recap. Judges, so this person that the angel of the Lord spoke of was Samson. We are familiar with the ministry of Samson, but Samson did all the opposite of what the Lord told him not to do. He told him, don't touch any dead thing, and he's not to drink any wine, he's not to do this, he's not to do that. But Samson did all the opposite of what God told him not to do. Doesn't that sound like some of us folks? We tend to go and do all the opposite what God told us not to do. But thank God for mercy, and thank God for his grace, and thank God that God allowed us to walk up against that brick wall until we finally get it, or we fall upon hard times, so to speak, in order to obey that which God has given us to do, the assignment. And so Samson was given an assignment to carry out. That was to bring forth deliverance. to the children of Israel, and so and to deliver them out of the hands of the Philistines. So, you know, of course, Samson wanted to do what he wanted to do. And we get like that sometimes. We feel like we ought to do what we want to do and not fully obey God and do all that which God would have us to do. We do have assignments. We don't even complete the assignment. Or somewhere along the way we quit and we give up on the assignment. And God don't want us to do that. So, God, I want you to be encouraged this day. And so there's a purpose behind, you know, why God has chosen you to do what he has chosen you to do, because only you are the only one that can complete that assignment that God has given unto you. Can nobody else do it except but you? God has appointed that assignment unto you. He has ordained it before the foundations of the world, which you have heard me read from Ephesians. The first chapter talks about that, about things were we were chosen in him before the foundations of the world, and to be holy and without blame. And so all this was all in the beginning, before the foundations of the world was even laid, before the world was even formed, before the world was even constructed by the word of God, by the God's speech, by the spoken word. God had already set things in place, and it's up to us to follow the map, the blueprint that God has already laid out for our lives. It's for us to be at those appointed times that God has already set in motion through God's, as you say, clock, that we're supposed to be at certain places at certain times to give a word to a person, to minister, or to whatever it is that God would have us to do. There are set times that God has already ordained before the foundation of the world that we're supposed to be and that we're supposed to be doing. That goes back to the perfect will of God. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the perfect will of God, not the permissive will of God, but the perfect will of God. I know in Romans, the 12th chapter, I believe it say, now there is therefore no condemnation to those that are, no. Romans, the 12th chapter, it says this: I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed, the second verse, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is, I believe it says, acceptable, good, and perfect will of God. So do you want the acceptable will of God, which is the permissive will of God, or do you want the good will of God, or do you want the perfect will of God? So ask yourself that question. Think about it. Do you all, as the songwriter says, any way you want to bless me, Lord, what God has for me is for me. You know, do you want to settle, or do you want what God actually has for you and what God promised you? Do you want just that? Do you want that Mercedes Benz that you prayed and that you asked for, but you got discouraged about it and you said, well, Lord, forget it. I'll go ahead and take the Volvo, or I'll take the Ford Taurus. That was God's permissive will or his good will, because yes, you needed a car, you needed some transportation, so God allowed it because you went on and settled and you said, I'm gonna go ahead and take that instead of God's perfect will. Was, yes, it's been confirmed, it's been prophesied through the mouths of the prophet, it's been spoken. Yes, you know, I see this Mercedes Benz, you've been desiring this, the 500 SE class Mercedes, one of the top of the lines, and I'm not saying that I know my types of Mercedes or whatever they class or something like that, but you know it was confirmed more than one time to you by concerning that Mercedes Benz. But yet you got discouraged, and yet you looked at your situation, and yet you was like, well, you know, I'm gonna settle for this, probably, you know, the Ford Taurus. And but I'm getting back to the word here. God, again, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God has mapped everything out. God has ordained, amen, what you shall be and what you shall do. And it's up to you to follow that which God has ordained for your life. And did you not know that the enemy, when he gets an inkling that God has interest in you, and that he comes after you, he comes for you. I'm not saying this to scare you, but it's the truth. I can even show you this through the word of God. How the enemy, when he knows that God has an interest in you, He's coming, and he's coming to stir some stuff up, and then sometimes too, God can just have the enemy to take interest in you and say, "Have you considered?" We all familiar with the story of Job. Are you familiar with my servant Job? And so Satan was like, you know, you got a hedge around him. I can't even touch him. And so sometimes God can be bragging on you. You hear me? God can be bragging on you. That's why you could be having the troubles that you having, and you'd be like, oh, you know, it's the enemy, and you're murmuring, you're complaining, you're hollering, oh, when this is going to be over with, and oh, I can't deal with this, I can't take this anymore, I don't want to do this, I can't do what you called me to do, Lord, I don't want to do this, I can't, not knowing that if God bragging on you, God is talking about you because of it, we should be honored, and you should know that God has some great things in store for you, and you should know that God is about to get ready and do some things in your life, and God's about to get ready to do some things, and God's about to get ready to bring some things to pass in your life, because with any time the enemy get the meddling, God is about to start blessing. You hear me? Anytime the enemy start meddling, God is about to start blessing. And again, remember, the picture is bigger than you. You got to look at the picture. The big picture is bigger than you. It's bigger than where you at, as you consider the test and trials you're going through, there's nothing. It's real. It is real bigger than you. The assignment is real bigger than you. And let me show you through the Word of God. In Genesis 37, you're familiar with Joseph. We're all familiar with Joseph. And those of you that may not be familiar with Joseph, I'm about to read it to you through the Word of God on tonight. With the time I do have, so go get a pad, get a pen, write these scriptures down for scripture reference to refer to in your own time. Genesis the 37th chapter, starting at the 17th verse. It said, "And the man said, we are departing hence, for I heard them say, let us go down to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. We shall see what we will become of his dreams." You hear that? Let's go back to 18 verse. And it says, they conspired against him to slay him. So you know there's nothing but the enemy right there conspiring. Let's go back and see the reason why his brothers wanted to kill him. And let's go back to Genesis. Early on in, up in that 37, further up. Let's go back to the third verse. Let's go back a little bit to see why they wanted to do this, why they conspired against him. It says here, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors." You hear that? Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. So that's something that will stir up jealousy right there, and look like some favoritism. "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren. They hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves." So he began to tell them his dream. And he was talking about how how they made obeisance to him. You know, I'm just kind of paraphrasing. Now, and then how his family, his brothers, even his father, how they made obeisance unto him, and how they have bowed down to him. And that, I know that just stirred him up even the more to hear that. And so what you got to realize is you can't share your dreams or your visions with everybody. You got to be careful who you share with, because everybody's not happy about you. Everybody's not happy about you concerning ministry. Everybody's not happy about you concerning your business or concerning that you know, that job, concerning, you know, your marriage, you know, that you have, not saying you have a perfect marriage, but there are those that despise you because of your marriage. They may be single, they don't have anybody, or they may have been married and which end up in a bitter divorce, and they're not happy, you know, they're kind of bitter. They see other married couples or something like that, or see you, and or you may have those that may not be happy because, you know, God is blessing you, God is prospering you, and you may share that God is about to get ready and do some things, you know, what the Lord has showed you concerning some things in the near future, what he's about to do for you, you know, purpose and plans concerning a witty invention that God has given you, a creative idea, and so on. And so what happened is the enemy tend to get into a person that may not be walking in the spirit, may not be spiritual, and all they could be a brother or sister in Christ, but somehow the enemy may get into them, and jealousy may hit them, and then all of a sudden you have those that are vision killers and dream stealers. I know this man of God, this one man of God, he was sharing. He told me that he was sharing an idea, something that God had given him, and he was sharing it with another man of God, and this other man of God ran off with his idea and ended up using his idea and made it his own. Now, this is somebody in the body of Christ, and if somehow the enemy can use anybody, if you allow the enemy to do so, the enemy will use you. It is possible. So that's why we got to be careful, and that's why we have to practice bringing our flesh under subjection and casting down every wicked imagination, every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, because everybody's not, you know, happy concerning, you know, your success or your dreams, whether it's in the music industry, whatever profession that God has called you into, field or whatever. You got to be careful who you share things with. You really got to use wisdom, and you really have to be careful. So what happened is Joseph did not have any wisdom, what he was sharing with his brothers, but I believe it was the Lord had him to do so, because there was a place that God had to provoke and push Joseph into, other than that Joseph would have not have been able to walk in. So there were some things that had to be set in motion, had to be set in place, that would push Joseph into his ministry, that would push Joseph towards the vision, the dream that God had given him in order for it to happen. So some things had to be stirred up, some things had to be provoked around him to set the ball in motion, to set the vision in motion, to set the prophetic word in motion. And so if you're experiencing troubles around you, if you're going through some things and it seems like, you know, you're being tried on every side, it's because God is allowing things to be stirred up to set some things in motion in order for that prophetic word to come to pass, which have been spoken, which have been prophesied over your life. God wants to move you into. And God said, don't look at the smoke screen of the enemy, which is trying to bring forth discouragement concerning ministry, whether you're a pastor, whether you're an evangelist, whatever facet that you may function and operate in the fivefold ministry gift. You may not be in the fivefold ministry gift, a pulpit ministry, but you serve in the local assembly, in the church, and many have been trying to discourage you, whether it's the ministries of helps, whether it's being the Sunday school teacher, or even whether, you know, you're just a doorkeeper, a janitor in the house of God. The enemy's been trying to discourage you. Don't let the enemy discourage you from your assignment, because you are needed in the body of Christ. You play an important part in the kingdom of God, in the church. And so don't let the enemy chase you away or discourage you from that which God would have you to do, or that which God has shown you, that which has been spoken over your life, and it seemed like it's been out of your grasp. It seemed like when you're getting close to it, you can almost touch it, taste it, smell it, but then it just seemed like it just seemed like all of a sudden just out of your reach now. I don't understand. It just seemed like I was just so close to it. I don't understand what happened here. But getting back here, so some things had to be set in motion. Some things got stirred up with Joseph's brothers. And they got up to the point they began to conspire against him. and they wanted to slay him. That's what the enemy is doing. He's conspiring against the people of God. He's conspiring against God's elect. He's conspiring against God's chosen one. He's conspiring against those in the body of Christ, marriages, you know, the pastors and leaders, those that serve in the local assembly, in the church, amen, that loves the Lord, that's faithfully and committed to God and to the household of faith. And those are the ones that the enemy hates and come after to bring discouragement and disappointment. And that's why you cannot look at, you know, the outer and allow that to discourage you, because you see some that have got uncovered, where a person may have got caught up, a leader or something got caught up in a scandal, or brother or sister or something like that. You cannot let that stop you in your walk with God, because they may have fallen. And it's your job, according to Galatians, I believe. I think it's Galatians 6 or 5. One of those chapters will say, if your brother's overtaken in the fall, ye that are spiritual, restore them. So it's your job to pray for them that they be restored, not to look at them and say, that's why, you know what, I'm leaving the church. I don't have nothing to do with the church, all these hypocrites in the church and so on. So now we're talking about them, and now we're spreading stuff about them and everything, and instead of just praying for them and asking God to restore them, and then, or we may allow, because we're not being rooted and grounded in the Word of God or in the Lord or in prayer or anything like that, we allow what we have saw to discourage us, that scandal or something, and say, you know what, I'm leaving the house guy. I was doing better outside of the church than me being in the church. That's a trick of the enemy. That's a deception of the enemy. Now, many of you heard me say this before, and those of you that may have not heard me say this, the devils, the demons are in hell sitting around a wooden table plotting. Now, this was said through a woman of God that had a vision of the Lord. The Lord took her down into hell and showed her these demons sitting around a wooden table, strategizing, plotting against pastors, marriages, leaders, and their families. And the whole assignment of that is to get not only the flock to scatter, but to get them to go back into the world. Because if they easily scatter them, they can just easily just go to another church. That's not helping them. So if they can get them to not only scatter, but go back into the world, then they completed their assignment. So that's what these demonic forces' assignment is, to get you as a believer to get so discouraged when you give up on God and you turn away and you go back in the world, to get that man of God, that woman of God, so discouraged that they give up on the church, they give up on God and turn away. And that's why you have your news of pastors that they're committing suicide, killing themselves, because they cannot handle the stress and the pressure and the things. They don't have an outlet, or can't really, it's hard to talk and to confide in somebody else, because they're concerned about their business is going to be put out there and they're going to be ruined and so on and everything. So we got to be careful how we handle the men and the women of God. We got to encourage. I want to encourage you to pray for your leader, to pray for your pastor, to encourage them. I want to encourage you. They cannot do it all on their own. That's why we are the body. We need your help. We need you to connect with the vision of the house. We need your talent. We need your gift. We need you to help build. We need you to connect with the vision, so that the vision can come to pass that God has given the man of God, the woman of God. We need your financial support in order for the vision, because it takes finances, it takes resources. Even Jesus preached about finances. He preached about it because it is needed for the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about how those that are prostituting, those that are raping the people of God concerning finance, you know, they have the wrong motives, that's building their own kingdom, but I'm talking about those that are really doing a work for the Lord and doing what God would have them to do in the house of God. These finances are needed to build. Don't believe this gospel where you're talking about Jesus was broke and poor and didn't have nothing. That's not true. Jesus had rich people traveling with him in his ministry that supported his ministry. If that was not so, then why was Judas stealing from the offering then? If Jesus was poor and he had a struggling ministry and did everything. No, Jesus had those financing. He had wealthy people, business people financing his ministry. So Jesus had people traveling with him in order to fulfill the vision that God has given him. So it's the same thing with pastors and leaders in your local assembly that's doing a work for the Lord. Even those that travel to do a work for the Lord need your finances to travel, go to these places to bring forth the word of the Lord because they have an assignment to fulfill. So if people are not giving, if people are not using their time to give them, then their assignment cannot be carried out. Do what God would have that person to do. So that's why it's very important that we encourage one another. And that's what I love to do. I love to encourage the people of God concerning ministry, concerning those that God has called to ministry, or you may not even be called to ministry, but yet you're a believer, you serve in the church, like I said, whether it's in ministries that help, or you're just a believer in Jesus Christ. I just love to encourage the people of God, but yet God still has a purpose and a plan just even for the lay members. God has a purpose and plan for all of us. And so let's look at the picture here with Joseph. So all this stuff had to be, things had to be stirred up. So his brothers got so upset. And so here they are saying, behold, this dream of cometh, because Joseph's looking for him. And then they conspired to him, let's slay him. But you know what? God always have a ram in the bush. God would have, somebody to stand up for you, praying for you, interceding for you. When the enemy come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard, as the word of God say, against him. Amen. So you got somebody standing in the gap for you. So here's Reuben in the 21st verse in the 37th chapter. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And so even though the enemy had desired to kill you, you may have been laying on the sick bed serious condition. I know many of you listening on my sound of my voice may have had a testimony where you had near-death experience where you died and the Lord brought you back, where you were in critical condition, serious condition. God spared you, healed you. You were on life support. God brought you off life support. You had heart problems or cancer. God healed you of cancer. God healed you of heart problems. God healed you, delivered you from a stroke. Whatever you, only you know. Well, God has performed the miraculous in your life. Why? Because God had a purpose for your life. God had an assignment for your life that you have not yet completed, that you have to yet fulfill that assignment that the Lord has given you to do. And skip down to the 23rd verse, 24th verse in that chapter. It said, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And I know some of you feel like you're in a pit right now. You feel so discouraged, despondent, down and out, like you're almost ready to throw in a towel. Your back is up against the wall. You're between a rock and a hard place. You feel like you're like Joseph right now, that you're in that pit right now concerning your purpose, concerning your assignment, concerning something like you're stagnated right now. Seems like things have come to a halt. No, God has you right where he wants you right now. And it may seem like there's no water. It's dry where you at. You're thirsty. And right now, you seem empty inside right now. But the Lord wants you to know that he is with you, and that's the time to begin to reach out. That's why I love sometimes, from time to time, I go back and listen to Shekinah Glory song, Praises. What I do, but I want to be close to you. And then later, songwriter going to say, when I praise you, when I'm going through, I vow to praise you. And then sometimes you really listen to the words of that song. And notice the songwriter said, I vow to praise you when I'm going through. And so that ought to be our determination as people of God. So regardless, when we're going through and it seems like we cannot see our way out, or see our way out financially, or see our way out through a negative report, or a negative doctor's report, or a negative report on the job, or a negative report concerning a court situation, or a negative report concerning our children, what we can do, praise is the key. Praise your way out. praise your way like Paul and Silas did when they went through into prison. When they were through, I like to say, into solitary confinement. You know, all the way to the inner prison when they, you know, throw unruly prisoners into. You know, they get out of hand, get to fight, stir up stuff. So they throw them in solitary. Paul and Silas were through into solitary. They could have murmured, they could have complained, but they didn't. What they began to praise God. They began to sing, they began to pray, they began to worship the Lord. And God heard them, and God began to move on their behalf. And not only that, God not only delivered them, but he delivered those around them. So I tell you, somebody's deliverance is contingent upon you. It's contingent upon your attitude. It's contingent upon you, how you see things in your walk with the Lord. Are you going to have a defeated attitude? Are you going to have a throw-in-the-towel attitude? Or are you going to have an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving? And, you know, I got an assignment. Jesus could have easily did that when he was in the garden. Jesus was in that moment in his life that he knew that he had to face the cross, that he knew that he had to die. And at that moment, Jesus did not want to go to the cross. He didn't, you know, he didn't want to go easily. It wasn't easily that he would go. He knew that he had a purpose. He knew that it was for him to come here and to die. But he had to train some people, and that's what he did. He trained his disciples. He trained the disciples in his assignment. That was all part of his assignment. And he knew that he had to die. And so that's what the Lord wants us to know. He wants us to know our assignment and don't want us to miss out on our assignment. See, Jesus could easily miss out on his assignment and say, you know what, I want to go to the cross. I want to be here, you know, longer. I refuse. I don't want to face the cross. Because if that was not the case, then he wouldn't have went in prayer. He wouldn't have went in praise to God about it. If it was possible, let this cup pass from my lip, because he didn't want to go through with it. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done, because he knew that he had to fulfill that assignment. The Lord never said that it would be easy concerning the assignment he had given to your hands. Yes, there would be some challenges. Yes, you're going to experience persecution. Yes, you're going to hear people say what you're not called to do, what you're not chosen to do, and so on. This is all part of the price that you have to pay for the anointing. And to walk in these places and God, to see the miracles of God in operation, to see people healed, delivered, set free. You're going to have to experience these things. People lying on you, talking about you, slandering your name, backstabbing you, and everything. You're going to have to go through these things. If you want to walk with the Lord, this is the price that you have to pay. And a lot of times we don't want to suffer. We don't want to go through anything. We don't want, you know, we want everybody to be our friend. You know, we want to get along with everybody. Just, you know, peace. I like peace. I'm a person of peace. But then, you know, I know that because of this walk that I'm walking and because of the mandate that is upon my life, you know, I'm going to come up against some opposition. Everybody's not going to take to me or take to my ministry or to the anointing that is upon my life. I'm not called to everybody. You have something to think that they're called to everybody. Hey, you're not. Hey, we're not called to everybody. It's like you have some major prophets, some minor prophets. You have some major apostles, some minor apostles. You know, we're not called to everybody. There's a certain group of people that you're called to, that God has anointed for you to reach, that are called for you that nobody else can reach. And so that's why the Lord wants us to abide in our calling, to stay on our lane, and to know what he has called us to do, and that's what you walk in. And again, you would be, you know, the enemy will use those because they're not really discerning by the Spirit. Again, they may look at you because of your age, because, you know, they may say you're too young, or they may look at you because, oh, you know, you're old now, I can't use you now. That's a lie of the enemy. You do what God has called and chosen for you, because this comes with the territory. You know, my wife and myself, as you heard me say earlier, have come up against these. At times we do come up against this and contend with this in our ministry, but yet we still do what God would have us to do so far as ministry-wise and ministering to the people of God. And I like to let people know I am an apostle called and chosen by God, not of man. And so I say to you, God, God, and not by man. There's not man to call you. It is God that they call you and ordain you and qualify you. God, I encourage you to show yourself approved unto God, a workman indeed of not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, to know the word of God, for yourself to know what you're saying, holding the script, so the Holy Spirit can bring back to your remembrance. You can't bring anything back to your remembrance if there's no word in you, if you have not been studying, if you've not been praying. So the Holy Spirit cannot bring anything back to your remembrance. So I want to encourage those of you, amen, the people of God, not just only those that are called to minister from the pulpit, but those that are just believing Jesus Christ, to know the word of God, because we are all called to be ministers of the gospel. I want to use you to minister in your workplace, to lead someone unto salvation. I just wait, come to my service on Tuesday, and they're going to do an altar call. You need to give your life to the Lord. No, that's you coming to the house of God for the men and women of God, for the fivefold, to train you to do the work of ministry, because we cannot be at your workplace. And God is breaking tradition, breaking religion of pastors and leaders, of those that will say, oh, bring them to the church. I will lead them to the Lord. I will pray for them. And so that's pride. You're missing the whole point. The purpose of God gave you the flock, the sheep, is to train them so that they can do the work of ministry. It's not taking away from the ministry. It's adding to the ministry. It's producing fruit. That's an extension of you, so you shouldn't feel intimidated. So you shouldn't get jealous. You know, I invite others that those that have the fruit of the Spirit, those that are gifted and talented, all they're going to do is help enhance the vision of the ministry. It's going to have grow. You know, whatever they do, whoever you send out, ordained and send out, it's just going to add to the ministry. It's going to show, you know, what you have done as a father, as a mother, amen, to that, you know, for the son, or to, you know, to what, how you mentored them and imparted into them. It's going to be a reflection of you, because, yes, they spoke greater than you as a father or as a mother. They're supposed to accomplish more and do greater. It's not going to take away from you. Encourage your own biological children to do, you want them to do more than you ever did, or to do greater than you ever did, to go further than you ever went further. And that's the way it's supposed to be in the house of God. If we feel that way concerning our own blood children, it's supposed to be the same way we as pastors and leaders, to provoke and to push those to do greater than us. Jesus, our first example, show you that in the word of God. So some of us must not be reading our word. Jesus said, great works have I done, but greater shall you do. So if Jesus is saying that, then what are we supposed to be doing? So we're supposed to be teaching and pushing the people of God to do greater works, to do greater than us, to accomplish more, to be all that they can be for the kingdom of God and for the Lord, to make a difference in their community, to make a difference in the workplace, to make a difference in their family, in their home. Well, I'm out of time, people of God. I want to pick this back up on the next broadcast, as the Lord leads me to do so, to continue in this vein, the purpose of why you're here, your purpose, your destiny, why it's so important that it has to be fulfilled. And yes, the enemy is going to come to try to discourage that, but you cannot allow what you see in the house of God to discourage you, or to turn away from it, to pray, but to fulfill the assignment of God upon your life. But I'd like to take this opportunity, for those of you that may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and you may be a backslider, and the word of God said that I'm married to the backslider. You can just come back to the Lord. There's no sin. You can't be like, well, I'm saying too much, and God want to set me back. Yes, he will. He said, I'm married to the backslider. Israel did so much stuff, abomination and everything, rebelled, all this stuff against God. And at one point, God divorced them. But then God said, you know what, I'm going to take them back. And so that's God's love for us. And so God's giving you the opportunity to come back to him. Those of you that need to get this, not saved, and the word of God said that today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation. And so while you have breath in your body, this is an opportunity for you to give your life to the Lord. You feel that drawing, that pulling, that's the Father drawing you and pulling you to Him, to give your life to Him, because God has a purpose for you. You didn't go through all that stuff that you went through in your life. You didn't go through being physically abused, mentally abused, sexually abused, all these almost nearly dead in an accident, almost maimed, almost lost a finger, a hand, or something you did, maybe lose a finger or a limb, or caught in the fire, to still be here, and yet God not have a purpose for you and for your life. So just repeat after me. It's very simple to say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. If you just said that prayer, welcome to the family of God. You are saved. I want to encourage you to get into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. Get into the new members if they offer it. Get into a mentoring program. Attend every Bible study, every training, every class. Soak up everything that you can because you're going to need it. Because the days are going to become where we're not going to be able to allow to carry our Bibles out in public or anything. So it's going to be, this is the time to be that living epistle that the Word of God said, rated on them all men, to get the Word of God on the inside of you. And when you know the Word. And so that when the Holy Spirit, when it's time, the Holy Spirit have you to recall the scriptures so that you can share the Word of God with somebody else. And God wants to break some of you that have been bound in religion and tradition in these organizations, you know, traditional things, man-made laws, and God want to break you away from that because you can't even really do what God has called you to do. You're limited, you're bound, you're stuck because you're stuck in some kind of organization. You're stuck in some rules and regulations, and you can't even fulfill the assignment of God on your life. You feel stuck. You feel like you can't even go any further. You feel dry, you feel you're upset, or you feel frustrated and everything, and God has been speaking for you to break away, but yet you won't obey God and break away. You're going to continue to be frustrated. You're going to continue to feel like you're not going no further because you're not obeying God. As soon as you obey God and break away, then God can move and cause you to flourish, and you can do those things that God has ordained for your life to do once you break away from these, as you call it, man-made type of traditional organizations and so on. If you want to break you free from that, and some of us are still connected to some things because of family, because my grandfather and because of my great-grandfather and my father, you know, have been. So that's why I'm a partner. I'm staying here. No, God is calling you to something different, to break away from that, from the traditions of men. God had me minister some time ago on breaking the traditions of men and why they were so upset with Jesus and saying, you know, they're not keeping the of our elders, of our fathers. And so that's why the kingdom breaks tradition. On the traditions of men, which make the Word of God of none effect. It's the Spirit of God that maketh alive. So we have to be led by the Spirit of God. And again, the Lord would say, once we lay down our programs and our man-made traditions, and God said He can begin to move supernaturally, move how He wants to move in our churches, our local you know, assemblies, to move, we can begin to see the miraculous once we begin to let go of our programs, and once we begin to let go and break away from these traditions of men, through these denominations that we uphold. I'm not going to, some of you know who I'm talking about, some of these organizations, some of these denominations. But anyway, thanks to God, people, God, I'm sorry, my time is up, and I thank God for those of you that I've been listening to Restore the Past, to Dwell in Broadcast. I'm sorry I'm unable to open the lines up right now to take any prayer requests or comments or to pray for anyone, but I want to encourage you to tune in on the third Monday of this month at 8 p.m. to the broadcast and to listen to the broadcast. We are going to be in Blue Island, this week, Thursday, out in Bloom Island, doing a worship event. Sorry, I don't have the address. I wish I had the address before me right now. I forgot to be there in the Chicagoland area, in the Bloom Island area, the suburbs area. You can come out to this worship, those that are, you know, love prophetic worship, the song of the Lord. You can come and attend and be at this event. We're going to be with Pastor Terrence Hall at this meeting, this great event on, I do have the address right here. We're going to be at Tree of Life Agape Ministry, where the pastor is Carolyn Hinton. And that's this Thursday, the 10th, at 7 p.m. The address is 12951 Maple Avenue, and that's in Blue Island, Illinois. It's a Holy Fire event going on, the Night with the King. So that's this Thursday, July the 10th, at 7 p.m. at 12951 Maple Avenue in Blue Island, Illinois. And then if you need any more information, you can reach us at our church line, area code 773-888-3356. Again, it's area code 773-888-3356. You can call me off here, off of the broadcast, if you need prayer, if you need touch and agree with you. If you don't get anyone, just leave your name and your number, and we will return all calls in the order in which they are received. And also, we're going to be in one of our churches up in the suburbs of Wisconsin, Waukesha, Wisconsin. We're going to be with Living Worship International Outreach Center of Ministry. We're going to be with them, with Apostle Marcus Martin and Prophetess LaShonda Martin, our son and daughter. We're going to be with them, their ministry, on the 23rd, which is a Wednesday, in the Milwaukee area, in the suburbs of Milwaukee, Minnesota, and everything. So if you want to just come on out, we're going to be ministering the word of the Lord, ministering concerning the ministry gifts. We're going to minister concerning the fivefold ministry. We're going to be prophesying. The Spirit of God give us utterance and everything. We're going to be there. I'm going to have more information concerning that event on the next broadcast. For those of you that want to attend, be there, meet us there. That's up in the Milwaukee area. You want to come, you want to meet us, you want to be there at the event. Again, you can just give us a call or just call us, leave your email address on our church line, and we will email you the address and where we're going to be concerning this event. Well, again, I don't want over my time. Thank God. For you, people of God, thank you for your support, encouragement. Continue to pray for us. Keep the ministry in prayer and in parting. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance and shine his face upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord leave his peace with you, his shalom. Though your enemies may rise up against you one way, they shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord cause your enemies to be your footstool, be at peace with you, and even to bless you. And the Lord increase you in finances. The Lord increase you in goodness. The Lord prosper you in good health, even as your soul prosper. And the favor of the Lord around you and your family as like a shield. God bless you, love you, and good night. Thank you.